go over a review of what we've come to so far with Slow to Learn and why this is so important. In the very beginning of the page, when Paul was inspired to tell the people, he had much more to tell them about Jesus, but he said he could not because they were slow to learn. And if you read that verse, it's implying not a disability, if you will. What it is stating and lack of understanding or not having, not doing it. So slow to learn is implying learning, not a learning disability, but a choice of lacking urgency. You know what I mean? The urgency of knowing Christ and the effort. Once again, we look in the Bible, stays very small, very, very small today, but people are still not there. So what is our excuse? Okay. Now we may have individual excuses. However, we're still held accountable. Slow to learn is you're going to go through these things. Like I said, if you have a test next week, they won't change the test next week. You know, if the teacher said you're going to have a test next week and every day you're studying and you're going to the things that he's saying for help, you want to make sure you do well on that test. For a person who doesn't, they're saying one of two things. I either got it or I don't care. And both are dangerously wrong. You know what I mean? In our case, as Christians. So that's where we're slow to learn. We have opportunity, we have situations put out there, and we choose not to. Life gets in the way multiple times, and it becomes a bad thing. The reason why, as we've seen, we saw multiple ways we allow too many distractions to make the word ineffective in our lives. If you walk by sight, and this is why some churches have turned it into do this and you'll see this, do this and you'll see this, not realizing you're still preaching sight. Do you notice that? We'll preach, if you do this, then God will. If you do this, and we're almost doing a do this and watch. And by sight. While faith is, do it because he said it, period. But what if I did it and everything went wrong and this person that's not doing it, everything goes right? Exactly, still do it. That's faith. But we don't like that. So, you know, we didn't make that the main thing. They don't see the importance of maturing. You have some that get saved and think, that's all I need to do. Now I'm going to live my life. Don't bother me anymore. And not realizing the danger in that as well. We must make up our minds to keep spiritually maturing, okay? Very important for us that maturity is a necessary thing. The Bible makes it not taught as much. You know what I mean? The worth of maintaining God's word is not appreciated. In other words, some like to think, I become saved and I go sit down and the Holy Spirit takes over from there. While the Holy Spirit empowers us to have the thing we need in order to. Do you know what I mean? And when I say in order to, you fill in the rest of the blank. In order to be strong in God, in order to minister, in order not to sin, so on and so forth. We think as long as we say we're Christian, then that covers us and we're safe. And everybody just leaves it at that. People are not living using godly wisdom. Okay, we're using other forms of intelligence other than the form of intelligence, which is God, in this. And a major reason an effort is not made aggressively to learn is because people have distorted perception of God. That is the by far the biggest thing. If you talk to people and hear their description of God, it's going to be different than another person's description of God, while still talking about the same God. And the problem is we like our descriptions of him because he's made out to what we want him to be. And it's no different than a teenager who has the, my parents will let me do anything I want, and then get home and go, no, you're not going. Wait a minute, because they had a perception. You know, as my wife used to say, you must have thought it, but you're wrong. You know what I mean? And the understanding of that. So there are consequences, and there are major consequences, because he gives us the stuff to learn for our protection. You understand that? When he says faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God, he's showing that, so the way you're going to get faith is by being in the word of God. And that's a refueling and a growing in it. So if I'm not in the word and I still say I have faith, do you see how ignorance plays a bigger part in that? So we allow the ignorance to come in on something that has nothing to do with God, and we go in the wrong way with that. We also see that the gospel is what we are saved by only if we live firmly to it. And so we have to be firm in God's word. The kingdom of heaven is only for those who do God's will. Now, as many times as we've distorted the Bible, we think the Bible is just some reading thing that we get credit for instead of realizing it is an instruction book, a guidance on what we are supposed to do. You understand that? But not only don't we do it, we don't realize, you know how he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command, but I can't do what I command if I don't know what he commands. You know what I mean? So if I'm not reading the Bible, I don't know what that is. I don't know what, you know, what's right or wrong in that sense. So then we went to what must we do to learn at the right pace. In other words, to go. First of all, we had to make sure we got the word, keep the word, and live by the word no matter what. Did y'all catch that? You know what I mean? Get the word, keep the word, live by the word, no matter what. That no matter what part comes in, not because I seen. And I told you, too many people today live with a mindset of, well, I did this and it worked, so that's why I keep doing it. You're implying the minute it stops working, I'm going to stop doing it. So you're still living by flesh, by sight, by you. The other one is, like Jesus, I do exactly what my Father tells me. What he didn't say was, I do exactly what my Father tells me, and it turns out the way I want it all the time. Does everybody understand that? So the point of it is, we make sure that the word becomes our life. God allows distractions to see if we will be distracted. Does that make sense? And that's up to us if we allow ourselves to be distracted or not. Reverence is a major attribute in our path to learning. Okay? Reverence has to exist. Fearing God is just a non-existent. Even some people even preach against it. We must fear God, but we don't do that the way we need to. And the importance of growing God's word and going through anything to get it, even suffering, if that makes sense. Yes.
You said some people will preach against fearing God?
Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you remember, people, once again, perception and distortion and the lack of understanding, used to preach there's an Old Testament God and New Testament God. Do you understand that? And they went, the Old Testament God was a wrathful God. The New Testament God is a loving God. So we don't have to fear God. That's downright ignorance if you don't understand it. But people preach it when you don't understand it, not realize it's the same God. And what he did in the Old Testament was love, just like what he does in the New Testament is love. First, you got to understand love. Do you understand that? But they're thinking fear is this. You understand that? That's why even in churches, you have some grow up where parents became best friends with their kids instead of the authoritarian. You know what I mean? And even using that term of they're going to know they're going to get it if they're wrong. We cringe from that instead of understanding. So reverence is non-existent because we distorted it. We didn't teach it. We didn't show it the way it should have been shown, if that makes sense. So yes, absolutely. So yeah, a lot stopped teaching it and even taught against it, if that makes sense. Amen. And so where we last left off is we get to see a perfect example of how we must carefully receive and understand the word. Okay, and that's the key. Carefully receive is you want to come to church to hear what the word is and to make sure it's right. Watch what they do. So we're on where it says Acts 17. It was under the Bereans were a perfect example. And he says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. And then he explains why. For they, watch this verse, received the message with great eagerness. Now let me stop there. The point is, I come to church to get the word. So my tiredness won't get in the way. People talking won't get in the way. Not understanding won't get in the way. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Remember, if y'all remember, those who are on the board, how when I hesitated on wanting to put in the word electronically out there, in the main reason, and in some cases I think it worked to that. We can go to that as a backup instead of making this a mandatory. Does that make sense? I can come to church with the mindset of, even if I don't pay attention, I'll get it off of tape or I'll get it off the video. And that takes us away from this understanding of this is an important, urgent part of my life. And when you come to church, and there may be distractions around you, and you don't go get these distractions away, you'll go, I won't allow them to distract me. I got to get this word. You may go through a moment, but you'll go to get the word. You want to hear and understand the word. So you're taking notes because you're going, I'm going to understand it, so I'm going to ask questions about the word. That's what it means when he says they received the message with great eagerness. Of when I'm done, I'm going to have heard everything that was said. And I'm going to make sure I gain understanding, whatever that means. In other words, I want to gain that word. So that's the first phase, okay? In which gaining the word is first and foremost a very big part of what I do. Does everybody get that? Okay, so that's why they were a huge example on receiving the word, first of all. So that was first and most important. Then it says they examined the scriptures. How often? Daily. Every day. They examine the scriptures every day. See, some of us will go over it, study it tomorrow. Do you understand that? And then we're going, okay, I did my job. I think sometimes we look at studying the word, measure it to other people that don't study the word. And that's easy, right? I'd be a saint. I think a lot of us say, I'd be a saint because I study it once a month. But I know people don't read the Bible at all. Now, realizing it's not a test of who does it more. It's you're doing it for you. So then why are you limiting yourself? Why are you allowing these temporary distractions to keep you from doing the thing you need to? It says they received it with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Did y'all catch that? So they then checked it to make sure the message was right. They checked it to make sure the message was right. I always tell y'all, make sure y'all check me. You know what I mean? Check any minister. A common thing today is we'll go, and if we hear a sermon that we like, you know, like online, people can like something. We have done this all of our lives, that if you like it, you won't check it, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? If you're really being honest, and I've done that in my younger years, when I would hear a sermon, and I would go, man, I enjoyed that. I'd almost quote that because I enjoyed it. Instead of me going back, okay, let me see what it said in the Bible. Now, many times, some of those sermons that I heard, I went back and I went in there and was like, ah, oh, that's not what that scripture said. Wait a minute, there's some problem here. And my next step began to be later on in my life was, let me go talk to them about it because I'm a little confused because what they said doesn't fall in line to what this says. Do y'all get that? That's our responsibility. That's what the Bereans. The Bereans didn't go, you know, Paul is a star. You know, I'm just going to give him respect because he's one of the ministers. No, what they said was they went and checked it daily to make sure what Paul said was true because they were there to hear the word, not to hear Paul. Big difference. Y'all get that? Make sense? If you're here to hear the word, nothing will get in the way of that. Okay? But we allow. You know, you allow. Look at people's lives. We're so distracted by so many other things, this word is usually missed out on. And that's what the brings. So perfect example, those who are slow to learn, you'll watch them allow so many other factors and things like that to get in the way. And that's how it should not be. Amen? Okay? So we also see, don't just receive it, test it. So it even falls into what the brands are doing as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22 says, test what? Let me hear y'all again. Test what?
Everything.
Test everything. Now, the key of this is, once again, going back to, like I said, we usually test the things that we don't like or at the moment when we're told to test it. But when we really like something, how many of you go, I got to go test it to make sure before I start applying this to my lives? We'll hear some stuff that are fine sounding things. And we never check it. But he said, test everything. Test everything. Okay? So you're supposed to leave here and study to make sure what I'm saying is right. When you go through life and you get a feeling or a thought, you got to make sure it's right. He even tells us in 1 John 4 to test the spirits. Do you understand that? Okay? So we have to understand testing everything. And then he gives us instruction after we get the results. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now, what he didn't say, and I teach this to parents all the time, he didn't say test in avoidance. Now, what I mean by that is I want to train my child to know when something's wrong and then avoid it. What we tend to do is we'll do the avoiding for them. I don't let them watch TV. I don't let them go out with their friends. I don't let them breathe air. I don't let them drink water. I don't know what we do. You know, we put them in a bubble. And we do. We get carried away. And we know because there's bad in all of that. They grow, have no idea why you did it. They might have heard you say they did. You understand? Instead of giving them the instruction of the way to go, so then they automatically, you know, no, this is bad. No, I'm not going to listen to this. No, I'm not going to watch this. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? Okay? To where kids would sneak because they just think they're getting away with what their parents don't want them to do instead of training, well, this is wrong. That's why I'm not doing it. Does everybody get that? You want to teach them to train, to test, to understand it. In your training, you make sure they get that understanding. So it's a part of how we are supposed to raise them. But that raising them in avoidance is usually irresponsible sometimes. It can be lazy because it's easier to do that. I don't let them watch TV. Easy thing. You know what I mean? Instead of, as they're watching, I got to watch what you're watching. We got to talk about it. Why would you watch this? Do you understand what this means? You know, so get them in there so they go, yeah, I probably shouldn't watch this. You know what I mean? And understand how that's going to work. So then when I'm not around, and they have to make that decision, now what are they going to do? Y'all get this? Okay? So we have to do the same thing. Test everything. Test everything. And that's a big part of our walk. Testing is best done by those mature and living in the Word. Okay? It's fair that the younger or less mature you are, the harder it is to test. Look what it says in Hebrews 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5, verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature. Let me stop there for a minute. Why does Paul want to get to us to be mature? Once again, for our benefit. Everything God gives us in the Bible is for our benefit. We're not doing him a favor. It's not like once y'all get older, and I can put y'all to work. No, I'm doing this for your responsibility. You can choose not to, and that's just hurting you, is what God is saying. So he wants us to speed up in our learning or get in the right pace of our learning so we can mature, because mature then benefits us in life. Okay? I think we think growing in God is him changing our situation. And that's been a warped view of God, and that's not that. What true maturity is, me growing despite my situation. So a true Christian, you'll tell God, you can put me in bad, you can put me in good. You can put me in summer, you can put me in winter. You can put me in north, you can put me, I don't care where you put me, I'm going to glorify you. We live in a state of, well, God, as long as you give me this, as long as I have this, as long as I got peace here. So we make it based on our situation and us. And we just keep getting worse. Instead of recognizing, no, I'm growing. So that's why he says, solid food is for the mature who by, watch this, constant use. Did y'all see that? He didn't say using it one time. So this becomes a lifestyle. Okay? So when I get that solid food preaching and I use it constantly, not I did it one time and it worked. No, this will be a continual thing. But look at the growth that even happens in the mature. By constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let me be very clear. The translation of the word distinguish doesn't just mean know, because we all know good and evil, but we don't tell it apart. We don't really grasp it and accept it, because there's some things that are good that we struggle with, and there's some things that are evil that we kind of embrace, right? But the person who's growing in God can distinguish. You'll feel it and go, but still go, no, that's wrong. But it's a constant use. And you'll train yourself to know, no, I'm not doing that. And yeah, I need to do that. And it'll be automatic. Your body won't have a say. Your emotions and desires won't have a say. It'll all be God. That's why I need solid food. Does that make sense? Babies need the milk when they're first born. Okay? But if you kept giving them milk and that's it, as they're eating, it, you know, even at a younger age, they're going to be malnourished. They're going to miss out on all the things they need. There's a ton of it that they're missing out on. You understand that? So in the same way, a lot of us as Christians are malnourished because we're just getting still getting baby food. We're still getting the milk, and we haven't moved on to solid food. Make sense? So testing is done by the mature. That's another reason why we really need to mature. Also, we are just to hear it. We are not just to hear it. We must do it. Everybody say must. So this aspect of doing it is you're going into it so you can apply it. You don't be one of those that go to church, say amen, go home. What do you say? I don't know, but I was there and I was praising the Lord. Some people say, I go there to worship and praise the Lord. Part of worshiping God is your life. A major part. So how then do I worship God with my life? Well, the word will tell me. So you go to church so you can be taught how to worship God with your lives. It's not because I come and say amen and raise my hand and do everything that people think I'm doing. That plays a part, but the biggest part is how you live your life. Look what he says in James, and he gives an answer here for us to get. He says in James 1, 22-25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. I love that. Why do I love that? Because he's giving you an answer of what a lot of people are doing. And since we had that answer, it should give us clarity. Some just listen to the word and think, amen. Because you're deceiving yourselves, because a person who just hears it, even when you hear it and you understand it and you don't do it, you're no different than a person who doesn't hear it at all. Y'all get that? God is not impressed with an excellent student. God is, he gave you this path. He wants to be shown that the person who is doing it is the one that is applying it. I heard it to do it, not hear it to say I know it. Remember, knowledge puffs up. Okay, Pharisees, Sadducees, they knew the word. They just didn't do it. In fact, they did otherwise, if that makes sense. Makes sense, yes. Bible. I mean, not the Bible. You definitely want the Bible. Mike.
You know, I've been looking at the word, and we had spoken briefly about it, but deceive. Mm-hmm. And just really pulling it apart, you know, I'm finding that through my Bible studies, is you can think you know definitions.
Yep.
You can really just think you know it, and you've always known it. But when I looked at deceive, it sounds simple, but it's making yourself believe that what's evil is good, and making yourself believe what is good is evil.
Oh yeah, that plays a big part in deception. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand one thing also, too. Deception is a choice. We love to play the victim. Deception is a choice. Not in deception, you're right. In deception, we make that bad choice of making ourselves deceive right and wrong. But deception is a choice in a way that we, when he goes, do not deceive yourselves and things like that. You understand that? It's because it's something we're allowing. We're choosing to not know. And then we do like Brother Norman said, we go in the wrong way. So absolutely right. We mislead to go to a more desirable outcome in our understanding. And that becomes a problem. So when he starts off with do not merely listen and so deceive yourselves. And he's already telling you, you're already deceived if that's all you're doing. If you just did it for knowledge, then you already deceived. He goes and very clearly says, do what it says. And that's why he gives the example of purpose. If I come to church, why are you going to church? To get the answers of how to live my life. That's what everybody should be saying. To get these, so I can do it. Right? So if my purpose is that. If my purpose is, yeah, I better go because the pastor might talk about me. Oh, I better go so everybody looks this way. Oh, I better go because I have, you know what I mean? When I go for any other purpose, I'm deceived. Meaningless. You might be impressed. God's not. And it's not about impressing God. It's about loving God. And it's about living in his grace. He gives the example of anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So why is that a good example? Because why did you look in the mirror? To see what you look like and walk away. Why did I even look in the mirror? It was worthless. It was meaningless why I even looked in the mirror. But then he used the other one. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. This is my freedom. This is the thing that's given me life. I want to know this. You should demand an understanding of the word. Do you understand that? He says, and continues to do this. Do y'all get that? My purpose is I have to get this. Not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. Right? What shouldn't happen is when I do repeats of some of the sermons, you shouldn't go, oh, good, we're going over this again. It should go, okay, now I've already been doing this. Now I get to refine it. Or I get to get reminded on some of the places I may have missed. Or, but I've already been doing this. Not, oh, good, we get to hear this again. Or, oh, man, we get to hear this again. Y'all catch that? Okay? So either case, it's in applying it. And then it says, he will be blessed in what he does. Let me reverse it. If you don't do this, guess what won't happen? All right? We love to say I'm blessed. And he is blessing us. Understand, even though God is blessing you, a lot of us, even though he's blessing us, are not blessed. Because a blessing has to be received. All right? Blessing is I'm getting it, but it's worthless to me if I'm not receiving it in the way that's supposed to benefit me. Make sense? That's why blessing is happy is. And that's why a lot of us are depressed even though we're being blessed. Why doesn't it mix? Because we don't understand it and we're not receiving the blessing that he's giving. So he's telling me, how can I receive the blessing that he's giving? He showed it right here. Just do what he says. Then you'll be blessed. You'll be happy while everybody else is depressed in a situation. You'll have access to that full joy if you just do what he says. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. Our entire life ministry must be Bible rich. Now I'll show you what that means because Colossians 3, 16 to 17, the first word is what? So that means you have control over this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And if he would have stopped there, that's one thing. But he doesn't say just dwell in you richly. Now, I started off this sermon where I said, we'll go sometimes to, and we'll hear a sermon, in which you'll take one scripture, and they'll tell a whole story to give one point. And it is fabulous, and it's outstanding how they do it sometimes. It's very clear on that one topic. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? And I said, it's equivalent to your child going to school, and the way the teacher set up how 1 + 1 = 2, it was brilliant, it was well done, it was with pictures and everything like that. But when the school year was over, and it was time to go to the next grade, you'll say, what did you learn your entire school year? I learned 1 + 1 = 2. You'd be furious. Wait a minute, what about, you know, any science or social studies or gym? No, 1 + 1 = 2. But we get mad and it's temporariness. But when it comes to church, man, I was blessed by that. By this small piece of a message. When he's telling us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, once again, you should expect more. Right? You should expect more. You should come out of there with multiple scriptures that you have to go over and get an understanding of. That's richly. That means a lot of. Let the word dwell in you a lot of it. Does everybody get that? Okay? But that's your responsibility. Usually we're distracted. And I told you a long time ago, when I even almost backed off, and it was clearly, well, God, maybe it is too much for them to take, until I finally start listening and watching, binge watching. You know what I mean? Or people who read. I've watched people read 3 or 4 books. And they'll tell you the story to detail. Why? Because it's stuff that they desire. But they also showed they have the ability to. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? But this, which is our lives, give me a little bit of it, and then I got to go. I get it. But we've lied to ourselves to say, I only need a little bit of this. Well, you really need this. You need this in a lot. So when it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you. So he's saying, before you go out and do this stuff I'm about to say, the word really has to be in you. He didn't just say, let it dwell in you, period. It has to dwell in you richly as you, first of all, teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom. Okay? So before I really can start teaching you and rebuking you and helping you, I have to have a lot of the word, much of the word, all of the word in me. Because I may get part of it right, the rest of it I'm going to mess up. Because I only got part of it. Does that make sense? I only got part of it. I didn't know the rest of the story because I only read part of it or even a small part of it. So we go out and we try to give wisdom, but it's half truths and half wisdom. So we really don't teach well and admonish well. And then it even goes well as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts and to God. That's why you'll hear some gospels and some inspirationals that are more emotionals. Does that make sense? In other words, the detail is usually based more on me feeling good. How many of you like a gospel or an inspirational song to feel good? Right? It makes me feel good. I have no idea what the word's saying. And are the words accurate? I think there was a song, like I said, we had in a church that came up called Reckless Love of God. And hearing that, people were more insulted that they would add the word reckless and God in the same thing. You know what I mean? And it was a good conversation, and it went on with that. But people were more insulted themselves instead of listening to it. Because when it was first brought to me to listen to the words, I was like, yeah, the words were dead on. Very well written. It was good. And the problem was people struggled. And then you have to point people to, you do remember God calling his way of life foolish. He says, oh, no, God found pleasure in the foolish things of the world. And that's what that song is trying to do, to let you know what you're going to see as foolish or what you're going to see as reckless. God is doing it because you don't know what the real true love is. You don't know what, you understand that. But if I don't have the knowledge of this, I'm too busy being insulted at the word reckless. Y'all get, that's what we did with love. We distorted love to be this emotional feeling that came from us. And that's why it's all messed up. Instead of going, it's like 1 Corinthians 13 really broke down and gave us detail. And every time I looked at it, I was like, I really didn't love. Y'all get where I'm coming from? I had some emotional output that I labeled love, but that was not love. So even in the songs I'm singing, how I'm singing them to you, how I'm taking them in, if I don't have the word, I don't know. Is it just a feeling? Am I enjoying the beat? Am I enjoying the song? Or is it really ministering? Am I really ministering when I sing? He says also, whatever you do, whether word or deed. So he now, the first two things were just smaller examples, and now he said, now I'm going to cover everything else. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Did y'all catch that? So the key I have to make sure is I'm doing it in his name. And his name is represented in his word. Do you understand? But if I don't know his word, how can I do everything in his name? I was talking to my sister, and there's the other verse where it says, whatever you do, and it's, they're saying the same thing, where it says, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You glorify God in Jesus' name, because Jesus lived to glorify God. That's how the two go together. But the question I ask, eating, how can I eat to glorify God? To give a good example, okay? And biggest thing that we miss, especially here in America, as people know, here in America, we eat for pleasure. Other countries, they eat for sustenance. Now, both are wrong because our purpose is for something else other than God. The answer should have been, what do we eat for? God. What do they eat for? God. It should have been that. But they eat for sustenance. So that sustenance is their purpose. Our purpose is pleasure. So both are wrong. But using us in a big way, a lot of us will give thanks over food, take a bite of it. If we don't like it, what's the next step we do? Most of us. I'm not eating this. But you just gave thanks. But it wasn't the way I thought it should taste. Y'all get, you gave thanks on this food you're supposed to eat. You get where I'm coming from. Now, if you broke out in hives or something, I understand it. But that's not what happens. It's usually not to what my liking. So I'm not going to finish it. Amen? So that means, what was controlling you, God, or your pleasure? So are we really glorifying God? Do y'all get where I'm coming from? See, giving thanks means, you know, it's almost like we give thanks and God's like, okay, we'll see. You say thank you, we'll see. Right? And you eat and you're like, oh, I can't eat that. You know, they made this over this or did that. And immediately we're saying, that's just one example. I don't want people going home going, oh man, I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell because I didn't eat the rest of my food. No, what I'm saying is look at everything and you'll be surprised how so much of us ended up in there and we think, we sprinkle a little bit of God on top, if that makes sense. Get a mic, please.
So is giving thanks for your blessings, like your food, mm-hmm. and just acknowledging it's not easy getting food at all. Everything's expensive. There's a price for everything. But just giving the acknowledgement and thanking God that you at least have something, is that wrong?
That's not wrong. Just make sure the thanks isn't, try not to make the thanks on the situation that at least I have. Even though that's a nice way of putting it, the thanks always has to be for Him giving. So then you can bring in, I don't care how small it is, it doesn't even have to be, because sometimes we'll do it in a thing of, well, it could be worse. We don't want to have that. We want to have the thank you, God, period.
Right.
Do you understand? The thankfulness to Him is the gratitude to Him is what you gave me is what you decided to give me. Praise God. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we allow pleasure to play a part, we allow our desires to play a big part in that. So we miss out on a lot of stuff we should be thankful for. And the way we know it, we get rid of food. Crazy
choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get rid of food like crazy because we want so many choices. If restaurants really were clear, and especially fast food restaurants, and we are all godly, they would say, we're going to make this tomorrow. Is everybody going to eat it? You know what I mean? Everybody has to say, yep, we're going to make sure it's all gone before you make a next something. They don't make a whole bunch of things to throw all of it out like we do because that's not giving thanks.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Our mentality is to show Him thanks because He's providing. And, you know, providing for us, whatever He gives me. So I always encourage parents, don't always try to make what your kids want. Make your kids food to eat.
Right.
They got to eat it. My grandmother was very good at that. We didn't like everything she made. Do you understand? But we had to eat it. You know what I mean? And you don't have to eat it right now. She put that saran wrap over it or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Put it in front. And we didn't have microwaves. So you wake up the next day, you try to put it in the oven. Everything in the oven, you know, and it was just like, oh, and it was frustrating. But the next morning, in other words, the next meal you had better be that. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And she was showing an appreciation. I don't just make this, throw it away. And she doesn't give out menus also.
Right.
You know? Go ahead and tell me what you want, and I'll go ahead and make it. You have parents today that they'll put a whole food plate up there. Child will turn their nose up, and they'll look at them and go, so what would you like to eat? As they're throwing that whole entire thing away.
Right.
That's not showing thanks to God. That's huge. And I'm just saying, that's a small portion of us giving thanks. We live our lives so much for desire, it really comes in danger. We're going to learn more of that in the sermon on Sunday, God willing. So it's the thing of where we have allowed that to play such a part, we are not doing it to the glory of God.
So lessen the variety, stick with the basics.
Understand there's variety out there, but don't you live for the variety. I mean, the world's always going to provide variety because that's where it says do not love the world or anything in the world. Because
right.
It caters to the sinful man. It caters to what man wants and caters to man's self. We as Christians got to be careful not to buy into that. I go because it's nothing wrong with enjoying variety, but it can't be the purpose.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Right.
It can't be the purpose. It can't be, if I don't have variety, I'm not going to eat. You know, you'll take something and go, I didn't care for it. I probably wouldn't order it again, but I'm going to finish this. You understand? But if I had to order it again, of course I would.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Right. Everybody get that? Glorify Him. But that's what it's showing here. I wouldn't know any of that. I'm no brilliant man if the word wouldn't have showed me that. Do y'all get me? Does that make sense? That's why he can say both in in John 14, and he says in 1 Corinthians 7, when he says about something bad, remember he says, were you a slave? Don't let it trouble you. That's his answer. And when it says, don't let your hearts be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me, that's his answer. And some of us are going, man, that's not helping me not to be troubled, because we keep basing it on how we feel, not on what he says. I might feel troubled, but he's telling me not to be troubled. He said, if you're in some undesirable thing, when he says don't let it trouble you, it's not meaning don't feel it. And that's what the Bible shows. It means don't be it. I may feel it, but I learn to live for what he says. And that's what we can then learn in his blessings and grow in his blessings. And then we can truly, and only the mature can really start. And it's funny, to mature, I have to go through trials and count them pure joy to get maturity. But I have to be mature in order to get that. So it's a vicious cycle. When he says, so when he says count it pure joy, true Christians are looking forward to trials. Other Christians will say it because you're supposed to say it. You'll say, yeah, I'm going through a trial. Amen. Praise God. I'm feeling it. While inside, you're like, I hope it's not that long, and I hope I don't have to go through it. And I hope, and we're being really honest. All right? True Christians are feeling that, but they're truly saying, no, man, what's my next trial? You understand that? Even though inside it's hurting, but that's the flesh. Spiritually, once again, the Bible tells us it. Only when you get Bible rich that you understand that. Other than that, we've been remolding things to fit man's desires and not the Word of God. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? So it's just a lot of stuff in there. So that's why we have to, he says, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then lastly, we have to recognize God's word is our protection and guide. So we should make it our desire to grow in it. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Recognize God's word is our protection and guide. So we should make it our desire to grow in it. It says in Psalms 119:9-16. Watch what how he breaks this down. And he's inspired, and this is how we should see the word in us. Watch this. How can a young man keep his way pure? Here's the answer. By living according to your word. Now, stopping right there, he already gave me the answer on how I'm supposed to train up these young men. We try to, and I think we mean well. We'll create these clubs, we'll create these things, we'll keep these groups for them, we'll get them together, we'll get a bunch of other brothers together, we'll get people together, we'll guide them and all this, and God gave us the answer. We need to teach them this. Now, kids don't want to sit around a Bible study, and that's why we gauge it to something else. But there's ways we got to get them this word. It says, by living according to your word. That's clear, strong answer. But we don't teach that. We give other avenues. He goes in verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Do you notice what he doesn't say? Don't let me be harmed. Don't let me get hurt. He says, don't let me stray from your commands. Because in them, there's safety. You understand that? Then I'm going to be, but he's not saying, protect me and give me all my stuff and make sure I have. He's saying, don't let me stray from you. He's saying, whatever it takes, God, make sure I stay in your word. Make sure I stay doing the things your word says. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what's stopping him from sinning? The word in the heart. Remember, a heart is your what? Your purpose. So I'm hidden. So in my heart, no matter his word's going to exist, that when I create some other purpose and it doesn't jive with that word in my heart, I can't do that. See, purpose changes when we allow other gods or other desires to get in the way, and then we start following what we want, and it becomes our purpose. But when the word is always there, it makes you go, you're not supposed to be doing that. You get convicted. It's like, I'm not supposed to be going this way. All right? Because that word is in there, and that's what you want to make sure it does. It goes on and says in verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Now, he starts off with a praise be to you. He's saying, my whole life and everything that depends on you, I'm giving you the glory for it. That's why you always say, I give you the glory. I'm letting you know this is all about you. That's why I want you to teach me your ways. Because a person who's ignorant or young sees God's rules as rules, restrictions, right? A person who matures sees God's word as protection. Amen? How many of us, when we were younger, angry at what our parents did, only to get older, man, I'm so glad they, and you can fill in the blank, right? And some of us are even incorporating those same things. Why? Because I know when my parent did it, it's the thing that saved me. But at that time, I remember, I couldn't stand them. I had many times in my mind where my grandmother was like, she's on my nerves. To when I get older, you hear me preaching the stuff she did. Why? Because that stuff meant a lot. So in the same way, the guy gets to the point of, this means so much to me. Do you understand that? He was like, praise be you, Lord, so I want you to restrict me. I want you to say no. I want to be punished when I'm wrong. He's stressing this. He's saying, with my lips, I recount all the law that comes from your mouth. So he's saying, I'm going to get it to the point where I know every word that you're teaching me. I understand it to you know, down to the science. And verse 14 says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Now, let me show you what he's saying here. The feelings are what happens when we get stuff we desire, like great riches. He's saying, I'm going to make myself. Remember that verse in where it says, crave pure spiritual milk? Okay, that craving isn't a desired crave. It is a commandment crave. I'm going to make myself crave this. Just like he's saying, I'm going to make myself rejoice. I'm going to say, this is great. That's why you have to count it joy, because you're not going to feel it. You understand? So when he says, rejoice in following your statutes and rejoice in your great riches, then he says very clear, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. What does that mean? So as I'm reading the word, I start and I go, so how do I apply this to this? I go through this tomorrow and work. How do I do this? And when you consider it, you'll always go, how does God want me to do this? Once again, it won't be a bumper sticker. You won't go, what would Jesus do? You'll go, I'm going to do what Jesus would do. Does that mean I'm going to confront this person tomorrow? How am I supposed to do it the way Jesus would do it? That's considering it. But I have to meditate on his word. Well, you'll stop and read and you'll go, okay. Y'all catch that? I'm thinking of God's word in an application to my life in everything that I do. Consider his ways. He says, I delight in your decrees and I will not neglect your word. This is him making an agreement to God's word. And this is what we all should be saying when it comes to his word. Does that make sense? So break it down. The path to eliminating slow learning, and if you have in parentheses, all of the following are to be done as often as possible. Okay, and it's almost like that you do it and then you repeat and then you keep going and you do it again. First of all, you study the word. Okay, you're in the word, you're studying it. And a big part of studying it is you may not get it. You may not understand it. That's fine. That's why you take notes. That's why you take that stuff into your mind to get it. Then you hear the word. So as I'm studying the word, I go to church and you get understanding from what I was already studying. Do you understand that? So in when I'm reading my kids' bedtime stories or when we're having reading time, a lot more of it should be with the Bible. I'm not saying not to read other books, but if you see how some people finish and get down with other books, but they read bits and pieces of the Bible, do y'all get where I'm coming from? Okay, there's a lot more in there that we can get. So then you have to hear the word. So I study it, and then I got to hear it. And when I say hear the word, go to a church that's preaching the word. Don't just go to church. Big difference. Everybody grasp that? So you go to church to hear the word. So if they're not preaching the word, oh, got to go to another church. Pastor, can we hear the word? So you hear the word. Communicate the word. So that means that's why we have small groups. That's why when you go home, you're talking about it, not where you're throwing scripture, where you're now trying to, as you're talking amongst each other in the church about what you just heard in church, of how that's going to fit in what you are doing in life. So you're communicating it. You're talking about it. It's something that becomes part of how you do it. So it doesn't sound like what the Bible says. You're doing what the Bible says in what you say. Understand the word. That's where question and answer comes in. That's where I talk to other Christians. You may have gotten something I didn't get. I may have gotten something you didn't get. We get it together. We make sure it's all in the word. Then that's where test making sure it's from the word. Right? I don't want your explanation as the answer. I want your explanation for me to check. Well, this is what he meant. Thank you for that. Now I'm going to word and say, is that what Christ really meant? Got that word? And then meditate on the word. Now after I got it, I understand it. I go, I have to do this every day. And I think about it. Last week when I dealt with this, how could I apply that? Okay, how can I apply what I learned now tomorrow when I start this new job or when I'm leaving this or when I have a conflict? Or do y'all see where I'm going with this? I have this word and I'm thinking on it and I'm always thinking on it. You know, I tell some people there are certain things. I can watch something on TV, a regular television show, and majority of the time I'm watching and going, now how would I deal with that? Would I be in that situation? How would I go? Not just for enjoyment. I may watch a movie to enjoy it. I mean, I don't know how you can do that if you're watching Godzilla, because I don't know if that's going to be in there. You know what I mean? You're watching Godzilla. How can I apply the Bible to Godzilla? But, I mean, there may be some spots in there if you watch something crazy like that. But I'm saying usually when you watch anything on television or you listen to music or you're watching people on the street, you can go, so how does what I know apply to this? How would I deal with this? How would I or how am I? Do y'all get this? How am I going to go in here and do this? I just want something even small. Just while meditating, or I remember before the job I had this, and this job changed over and over from companies buying it. But when I went to that interview, before I went to the interview, you're taught today go in interviews and really sell yourself. But when I meditated on the word, I kept hearing humble yourself. So instead of me going there and touting all the stuff that I did, I went more in there and just offering what can I do. It was a bigger difference. Do you understand that? It was less of me going in, oh, I'm going to be, and I can't wait to offer what I can. It was, how can I, you know what I mean? I've offered this novice and I would love to do what I can to however I can serve. Do you understand that? It was more of, if you choose me, amen, if you don't. Instead of, you're making a mistake if you don't. Do y'all get this? But we're taught to do it that way. But it was his word that taught me otherwise, not what the world told me. And then you go apply the word. And you continually do this. That's why I say repeat. And this should be a daily thing. And you should mature more and more to when you hear the next time I preach a sermon, you're getting now the next level of that sermon. And then you're getting the next level. But if we're always getting the first level of that sermon, you're missing out on so much. Amen? Any questions? All right. Praise God. Let us pray.